Everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. It's an educational service in the public interest. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, the Law Hour is heard nationally on KU Band Radio at Telstar 5 over North America and worldwide on the Internet 7 days a week. For more information about the Law Hour and the Gordon Law School, please go to my website. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. And the Law Hour brings you important information about law, news, and current events, so stay with us for tonight's special report on renewable energy right after this message. You know, if you're earning $50,000 a year and you pay all of your 14 taxes, you get to keep 41% of what you create and produce. Government gets 59%. You get 41%. That's about $20,000 for you and $30,000 for the government. Now, isn't that just real special? Now, if you think that your share isn't enough for you, then why don't you work twice as hard and produce twice as much and make $100,000 next year? Then go ahead and pay your same 14 taxes just like you did this year. And you're going to net 24% and the government will net 76%. Which means that for working twice as hard and producing twice as much, you're going to net $4,000 more. That's 8% more net take-home pay than you got this year. You work twice as hard, produce twice as much, and get 8% for it. And that's guaranteed by Congress and the IRS. That's why I contend that there ought to be something more intelligent for you and I to do than to work to put ourselves into the top 5% of income earners and then only net 24% of it. Why don't you call today and order my free 4-hour CD package and let me tell you how to deal with this kind of crime. It's 4 hours of entertaining information and answers many of your legal questions about taxes and why it is that we pay so much for so little received. Let me teach you how to do just that in my tax and status school, which is now available on compact disc for adult home study. Now, to order your free general law CD package, just call me direct and order yours today. The number is 417-273-4967, or you can go to the website. It's georgegordon.org. Click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. Hey, I'm looking at the Blue Sky Quarterly. It's a four-time-a-year publication on renewable energy published in southeastern Colorado. I thought I'd review it and talk about this thing of renewable energy because it's a big topic in politics, a big topic in economics. There's a large portion of our population that's interested in renewable energy, and of course there's an even larger segment of our population that doesn't want to hear anything about it. What is the story about it, and how can you learn more about it and stay abreast of what's going on in renewable energy? I think Blue Sky Quarterly, published by Pinion Publishing Company, Pueblo, Colorado, is probably a good place for you to start. You can go to the webpage. It's www.blueskyquarterly.com. It's easy enough. It's www.blueskyquarterly.com. Price is $12 a year. I think it's well worth the $12 a year to stay abreast of what's going on. Now, it's not just regional in its content, although the magazine is a regional publication. After all, when you talk about hog manure occurs everywhere in the world, and the solution to hog manure is covered in this issue, and I'm going to talk about that in just a few minutes. In addition to corn and hog manure and wind power, sunflowers as motor oil, these are just some of the topics covered in Blue Sky Quarterly. The editorial starts off like this. They said, these are the sayings from another generation. When grandparents, parents, and some of our readers survived through the Great Depression, these values hearken back to a time when creative resourcefulness and invention were valued over material possessions. And it was a time before credit cards and massive debt, when people truly followed the maxim, if you can't afford it, don't buy it. Renewable energy is based on this same set of core values. I don't understand when people think of renewable energy as newfangled, the pipe dream of Ralph Nader, or a concoction of the radical environmental movement. And as you'll find in this issue of Blue Sky Quarterly, renewable energy is based on what some might call good old-fashioned common sense. It echoes a day when people didn't use what they didn't have, and when they used logic instead of money to solve a problem. Evidence of energy innovation can be seen across southeastern Colorado. Windmills are once again dotting the plains, harnessing the power of Mother Nature to power our computers and DVD players. Oil from the beautiful and plentiful sunflowers being used to lubricate engines in Kiowa County, and more than just a food at family reunions, corn grown in southeastern Colorado is used to fuel automobiles, and my favorite, a hog farm in Lamar, is powered by tons of manure that it creates, which used to stink and pollute our air. Now, I see these innovations as pockets of resistance in a world that appears to be spinning out of control. Our region is taking a stand for the rural values that have made our country great at southeastern Colorado, or rather as southeastern Colorado strives to use its resources to create clean and simple energy. I think the renewable energy industry holds promise for our economy as well as our environment. While renewable energy is truly the wave of the future, it also reflects the traditional roots of our region. Well, let's take a look here at wind power. I think that was the first article in here that I ran across. In our region here in Missouri, wind power is not an option. We don't have enough wind here to power anything. But wind is being used by commercial generating companies such as Pacific Gas and Electric out in California. And as we'll see here, you can tie into the local power grid and produce power and get paid for it. This is a rancher who has a windmill farm or a wind farm on his cattle ranch, and he's getting paid for it. Let's take a look at this, because if it's good for one rancher, why wouldn't it be good for 2, 5, 9, or 15 other ranchers? The story goes like this. The Emick Ranch, E-M-I-C-K Ranch, 25 miles south of Lamar, is just that. It's a ranch with standing and winding dirt roads, cattle guards, and a house sitting on 12,000 acres. A wooden windmill greets visitors, sturdy and proud, in the front yard, and a white pickup truck sits in the towering shadow of a 262-foot-high turbine electric generator. This ranch isn't just any ranch. It is the fifth-largest wind farm in the United States. Strategically dotting the ranch are 108 tall and elegant turbines, standing like slender white giants against a faintly clouded blue sky. And they're almost motionless and soundless, except for three blades doing a graceful whirl at the top of the towers. And you can even catch a tranquil glimpse of the large turbines, the silent blades from the long, narrow window in the living room of Bob and Helen Emick's house. During a nice home-cooked country meal of fried chicken and all the fixings, Bob Emick and his son, Kenneth, discussed wind, wind turbines, and windmills. It all started when the state put up a couple of monitors for 2 years to record the wind speed. A couple of months after they took them down, I got a phone call from Enron Wind Energy asking me if I'd be interested in a wind farm. And I said, let's talk, I said. Well, the giant company went bankrupt, 9/11 hit, and that put the wind farm on hold. Then Congress's tax extension put it on the back burner, but only until General Electric bought out the assets. The tax credits were extended and all phases were on go once again. It took about 5 months, 350 people, strewn cable, and 22 miles of service roads to get it all commissioned. By December 31st, 2003, the project was completed. Now up and running, the wind farm creates energy that Xcel purchases using a small percentage for energy on the Front Range. Wind power is garnered by turbines that convert kinetic energy in the wind to mechanical power. The large blades turn in the wind, and the shaft connected to the generator spins, and the friction produces electricity. Lines funnel the electricity to power grids and then on to the consumer. Wind energy is a form of solar energy. It's a combination of uneven heating of the atmosphere by the sun, the rotation of the earth, and the irregularities of the earth's surface cause wind. The earth's terrain, vegetation, and bodies of water tailor wind flow patterns. And then the Great West Plains from Texas to North Dakota is where the target areas for wind power are located. Wind is probably the largest renewable energy source coming online right now. It is the most cost-effective form of energy right now for the purposes of generating electricity. Its nearest competitor is natural gas and competing with coal-fired energy. Well, look at the cost of that right now. The principal scientist and meteorologist, Neil Kelly, from the National Renewable Energy Lab in Golden, Colorado. Kelly will be presenting his research of turbulence conditions seen at higher elevations over the Great Western Plains in Chicago this year at the American Wind Energy's global meeting, where they are expecting 2,000 to 3,000 people from all over the world to participate and look at the past, present, and future of global wind power. Wind energy is becoming a more viable solution for alternative energy as the costs have gone down. To help with research, Xcel and other utility companies throughout Colorado offer green pricing, where customers pay slightly more on their utility bills in exchange for more research and subsidies of renewable energy products. Technology in the past years has helped make this competitive. By cutting down the cost of construction, wind power is now very competitive to coal energy, even without the tax incentives. In the last 10 years, the price of wind energy has dropped from 20 cents a kilowatt hour to between 3 and 5 cents, making it cost competitive with new natural gas. And currently, wind electricity is running about 3 to 3.5 cents per kilowatt hour, while coal is at about 2 to 2.5 cents per kilowatt hour. Wind power is certainly within striking distance now of replacing coal in the cost of producing electricity. Now, the traditional model of energy usage shows that supply decreases as demand increases. Since no population shortage is in sight, energy supply is doomed to dwindle. Let me see if I can finish this article here. It's on page 24. Wind turbines range from 50 kilowatts to several megawatts. Grouped together, they form wind farms, and the larger turbines from these wind farms provide bulk power to an electrical grid. This wind is going directly into Xcel's power grid, and Xcel takes the power as is, said Kenneth Emick, the rancher, who has now gone into the energy business as well as the cattle business. While the Emicks are excited about the future prospect of wind farming, they have not forgotten their roots. The wind farm is able to operate without affecting their cattle ranch. And as far as the operation of the ranch is concerned, they didn't affect anything on the ground floor, the 16-foot pedestal. The acres lost is minimal, and the cattle go right on up to them. They don't bother the cattle at all. It's a change in the landscape. You can see the old with the new, and sometimes people can see the trees and not the forest. It's just a change, said Bob Emick. The 16-foot diameter wind turbines are now new to the family, but Bob Emick has a long history of tinkering with windmills. At one time, 37 restored wooden windmills spun on the ranch, and he has restored about 80 windmills over the years, and three of his restored windmills are on display in Lubbock, Texas, with the International Windmill Traders Association. And the monies earned from these restorations will be used to purchase more land for an upcoming phase two on the Emick's wind farm. I'm going to take this windmill, the wooden one that has done me great justice, and put it up in the barn just in case. The electricity and gas may not last. The wind has been good to me, and timing is everything, said Bob Emick, who has been in the wind business long before the turbines hit. Here's the point of the story. They don't give the numbers here. They're not telling you what the power company is paying as rent. Why don't you look into it? If you're a rancher, you've got wind power available. There's, you know, you drive across the United States, and I travel quite a bit, and I've probably seen, six of these big farms. I think the biggest that I've ever seen is up in the Tehachapi Mountains of California, where I counted 200 of these wind turbines driving across there, and that's just what I could count. I think if I read the literature correctly, there's over 400 or 500 there. And you can't see them all. The wind blows continuously through there, and in places like Nebraska, through the Great Plains, where the wind blows, 24 hours a day, oftentimes 7 days a week, there is a great potential there. Not just for powering your farm, but rather for leasing your land out for the power company to put in the windmills, and then pay you rent, just like an oil royalty. You know, ranchers made a lot of money doing that back in the 20s and 30s, from the turn of the century on. Oil companies would come in, pay them an eighth of the oil that they pulled out of the ground, made multi-millionaires out of them. And I'd be interested in talking to Emick here and finding out, well, what is the lease? So why don't you get in touch with this Southeastern Colorado magazine. It's called Blue Sky Quarterly. You can get in touch with them. It's $12 a year. If you want to subscribe, I think it's well worth the 12 bucks. Put out four times a year, blueskyquarterly.com, www.blueskyquarterly.com. You can probably get more information. It looks like there's a case of a money maker. If you get 12,000 acres and the wind blows, you might as well make something off of it. Here's a little sidelight. The traditional model of energy usage shows that supply decreases as demand increases. And since no population shortage is in sight, energy supply is doomed to dwindle. And as a result, traditional models will only get us so far before we begin to exhaust them, and new mechanisms will need to be put into place. Most aspects of life are dependent upon some form of energy. So the concept of converting from traditional coal, oil, or natural gas to more efficient and cost-effective means becomes a daunting, improbable task. Overhauling the source of power production may be a financial nightmare, but it is an issue for today's economy. Now, the trend in traditional resources is of consistently rising costs, said Kenneth Young. He's a materials process engineer for Adventech, a Pennsylvania-based wind energy engineering firm. They're getting more expensive because of where they have to be tapped. Oil is now more expensive when you have to drill in deeper water or over frozen tundra. Green alternatives may be a better solution, and Colorado is already recognizing the problem and the solution. According to the American Wind Energy Association, Colorado ranks eighth in the United States with 223 wind energy projects, including Colorado Green near Lamar, Colorado, the country's fifth largest wind farm. While converting from traditional energy may be costly, parts of Colorado are already experiencing some of the economic benefits of renewable energy. The new Colorado Green will save consumers $4.6 million in power bills, according to testimony from Ronald Darnell of XL Energy. The wind farm, according to the Colorado Coalition for New Energy Technologies, also promises to bring in $764,000 a year in new Prowers County revenue. Prowers County will also see another $917,000 a year in local school district general fund taxes. During the installation, Colorado Green provided over 300 jobs in Prowers County, and it also created 15 to 20 full-time power local operation and maintenance jobs, according to the Colorado Coalition for New Energy Technologies. Colorado Green promises to increase the Prowers County tax base by 29%. Now, I have produced programs in the past pointing out that America is not short of energy. America is long on politics. Politics, graft, and bribe. For instance, just looking at shale oil in Colorado, Wyoming, Utah, Those three states are not the only states, but the three biggest states contain approximately 4 trillion barrels of oil. Now, America uses about 6 billion barrels of oil. Now, 4 trillion is 4,000. There's 1,000 billion in a trillion. So if you take 4,000 and divide that by 6, that's 666 years worth of oil. We Americans could go into the business of developing shale oil, and it can be developed at $30 a barrel. We're now paying $40 a barrel to buy oil from foreign nations. I don't see why we shouldn't employ Americans producing our own oil and tell the Arabs to go sell their oil somewhere else. Of course, we'd have to give up our free trade policy, and that's not very likely. That's the political problem. But when we look at renewable energy sources, like wind power, instead of getting into politics and trying to do business in a socialist society or a socialist economy, why don't we go back to the old-fashioned capitalist ideology? If it makes economic sense for you, then why not do it? And I think that's where this Blue Sky Quarterly is going. Let the government and the big energy companies squabble over socialist policies and five-year plans, and let you and I concentrate on how do we make money off of a solar wind farm by collecting the rent. Let's rent it to the big corporations, and let's make something from it. Now, here's another little story here that deals with hog manure. Now, this is a big corporate industrial farm, and it's a problem. It's a problem solution type of industry or a type of remedy for a problem that is long-standing, and that is industrial agriculture. I don't think industrial agriculture is going to slack off, but here's an interesting solution called hog manure. Listen to this. Most residents of southeastern Colorado are familiar with the smell of feedlots or large hog farms. Now, while some people may joke that the methane fumes smell like money, the odor can be hard to live with and can even hamper economic development efforts. The odor of methane, however, is only a small problem. Since the smell is so obvious, it sometimes overshadows the large problem of methane's negative effects on our atmosphere. Methane is 21 times more potent than carbon dioxide in destroying the atmosphere, says Ed Lewis. He's the governor's Office of Energy Management and Conservation liaison officer, whose job it is to help Colorado businesses reduce energy costs. Let me just pause here and make a little observation. Here in Colorado, and more than likely there are other agencies just like it, here's a state-funded government agency which is designed to help businesses lower energy costs. Makes all the sense in the world. Let's suppose you're running a factory or a business, and you're spending $4,000 a month on energy. Is there something about your business, something about your operation that could be used to convert waste products into usable electricity? Many businesses do, such as sawmills burning their waste can also use those to power the electric grid. In California, at Scotia, California, the Pacific Lumber Company takes all of their waste wood, burns it in an electric power plant, produces all of their own electricity for the little community of Scotia. And in addition to that, they also put the excess power into the power grid and get paid for it. So in effect, the lumber company is taking their waste wood products, which they normally burn, or they have to dispose of, and they convert it to electricity and make a profit off of it. Now, here in Colorado, they have a governor's office liaison officer who will come out to your business. Do they have anything like that in Missouri, California, Washington, Oregon, New York, Florida? Have you ever thought to ask? Why don't you call the governor's office in your state and ask if you're a businessman? After all, business is business. Profit is profit. This company is turning a handsome profit on what was and is to this day a pollutant in the environment. Now, they go on. There's more to the story. All farm animals create methane when their manure decomposes. Methane is not only produced by farm animals. Methane is created whenever there is destruction of biomass. Landfills, for example, create methane as their contents naturally decompose. Now, to combat both the problems of odor and methane pollution from swine operations, Colorado voters adopted Amendment 14 in the fall of 1998. The amendment asked the Colorado Air Quality Control Commission and Water Quality Control Commission to develop air and water quality regulations for hog farms. These new regulations, enacted in 1999, require hog farms to minimize off-site odor emissions. The regulations are monitored by the Colorado Department of Health and Environment, who measure odor concentration. Now, Colorado Pork Company, recently purchased by Custom Swine Partners Company, chose to embrace these restrictions when constructing its hog farm south of Lamar, Colorado, rather than balking at the new regulations. Colorado Pork met the challenge by partnering with the state and other agencies to dispose of the farm's methane in an innovative new way, turning the gas into electrical power. Now, hog farms the size of Colorado Pork can produce 12,500 pounds of waste a day. 9 full-grown hogs can produce 10 tons of manure in 1 year. As you can imagine, disposing of this much waste without odor emissions is a difficult task. I did the arithmetic on this, and I think that 12,500 pounds should be more on the order of 12,500 tons of waste each day. And before the passage of Amendment 14, these hog farms and the manure was left in uncovered lagoons. The methane from the manure would then evaporate into the air, leaving behind a high-performing fertilizer. Well, by simply tweaking this traditional process, the Colorado Pork Company was able to comply with Amendment 14 and decrease their own energy costs in the process. The farm uses an anaerobic digester, which in reality is a fancy way of saying an enclosed pit. The manure sits in a covered lagoon rather than in a customary open lagoon. Then the manure breaks down with the help of naturally occurring bacteria, and as it breaks down, the methane released from the waste is collected. To create electricity, the collected methane is pumped into a reciprocating engine, a modified natural gas generator, and a microturbine. Despite the fact that methane is detrimental when allowed to evaporate into the atmosphere, it can be used as a clean burning fuel. And the hog farm currently owned by Custom Swine Partners is using this electricity to help offset their own energy needs. And the farm has not produced enough power yet to be self-sufficient and is still connected to the power grid, which is operated by Southeast Colorado Power Association. Installed switching and metering equipment at the hog farm, according to Jack Wolf, this equipment will allow the SECPA and Custom Swine Partners to funnel electricity back and forth. So if the farm needs more power than it produces at any given hour, the SECPA supplies the farm with that power. On the other hand, when the farm produces more power than it needs, then the power can be routed back into the SECPA system. Now, there's some real money-making potential here. Let's take a break. We'll be back, and let me give you the numbers off of this and tell you some more of the story. There might be money to be made for you and I, not just the major multinational corporations or the big corporate swine farms, but how about Joe Sixpack and Sally Housewife? Hang on, and I'll be right back. All right, you've been listening to The Law Hour. I'm your host, George Gordon. Now, The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. We're sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. All of these Law Hour programs are archived for your listening convenience on the internet at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. You know, the income tax and Social Security programs are not compatible with our traditional American values, and that's because these two programs are the second and the eighth planks of the Communist Manifesto. These programs call for a heavy progressive income tax in place of tithing. Social Security is a social welfare scheme that takes the place of strict liability and individual responsibility. And this income tax requires of us that we serve two masters in violation of Matthew 6, verse 24. The income tax requires that we rob God in violation of Malachi 3, verse 8. The income tax requires us to commit idolatry in violation of Exodus 20, verse 3. The income tax requires of us that we use unjust weights and balances in violation of Leviticus 19, verses 35 and 36. The income tax requires of us that we sign contracts with foreign and alien gods called governments in violation of Exodus 23, verses 32 and 33. And Social Security violates the strict liability statute of Exodus 21, verses 28 through 36. And then Social Security violates the 10th commandment by appealing to our lust and greed. Then we're taught to call that income redistribution. Well, the scripture calls it covetousness and theft in violation of Exodus 20, verses 15 and 17. Now, you know, the God of Israel gave us a better way of life than that, and our founding fathers followed that better way, and that's why I contend that you and I ought to learn to practice a better way of life than income tax and Social Security. For more information about tax and status, why don't you call me at 417-273-4967. Now, be sure to ask for my free general law CD package. Remember, that's a four-hour commentary on the Gordon Law School. It's entertaining, educational, it's informative, and best of all, it's free of charge. Tax and status is available on compact disc for home education, and if you're online, you can go to my website. That's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send me an email request for your free general law CD package. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct, 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about hog manure. This is from an article in the Blue Sky Quarterly, Renewable Energy Magazine. Will renewable energy revive our economy? You can subscribe. I would suggest you go to their webpage. It's www.blueskyquarterly.com. Subscription is $12 a year, four issues, spring, summer, fall, and winter. It's a regional newsletter or magazine for southeastern Colorado, but the articles contained don't just apply to southeastern Colorado, and I picked up several good ideas concerning how to make profit wherever you're located. What you need to do is to check with your own state government and find out if you've got a similar energy conservation program in your state. Some of this is federally sponsored. For instance, up in Idaho many years ago, the Idaho Power Company would put hydro plants off of various ranches, small hydro plants producing, you know, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 watts of power, just small plants that would supply the ranch or supply a business or an industry. And then there was a surplus. Well, that surplus could be metered right into the electric grid system. By doing that, when you're at peak consumption, you may actually be drawing from the power grid, and then at low power consumption, you may be producing power and putting it into the power grid. Sometimes the net result is that the power company sends you a check at the end of the month for $2,000, $3,000, $4,000. In the case of this swine operation, it has lowered their electric utility bill from $11,000 a month to $3,500, which means that while they're not quite energy self-sufficient off of the manure that comes off of this industrial plant, they're almost energy self-sufficient. They're about two-thirds of the way there. And what it's doing is generating about $100,000 a year in profit to the company. In other words, they'd be paying out an extra $100,000 a year for power that they're putting back on their bottom line. What's the cost of putting in this power generating system? Because if it'll amortize over 7 years, and if it has a useful life of 20, well, then it has a $1,300,000 profitability over 20 years. Now take $1,300,000, divide that by 20, and it produces $65,000 a year profit per year. Now, anytime a business can produce a product and generate $65,000 off of that product and $65,000 off of another product and $30,000 off of a third and $100,000 off of a fourth, pretty soon, as old Everett Dirksen used to say, you know, a billion here and a billion there, pretty soon you're talking about real money. Now, I don't know the overall cost of this hog operation. Typically, these guys will have 40,000 sows in one of these big hog operations. And they're talking about making millions of dollars a year. And they really don't care anything about the methane gas. They're not doing this because they're concerned about making $65,000 a year or saving $65,000 a year off of their electric bill. That's not their concern. But they have to do something about the smell. And since they had to do something about the smell, it prompted them to, okay, well, we'll fix the smell. And while we're at it, we'll go ahead and make a profit at the same time, which they're doing. You could probably do the same thing where you are. It may not be the same numbers, but call the governor's office and ask them if there is some program in your state. Or call your local representative. For instance, our representative, our senator here in Missouri, Senator Kit Bond, or our local representative, has an office right here in Springfield, Missouri. Call your representative and ask them if there is some kind of a federal program. Not all states have it. Idaho has it. Several other states have these energy sharing programs. Some states don't. If your state happens to have it, you may have a biomass that needs to be disposed of that can be turned into a profitable operation. This is what's being done at this hog manure farm. Now, here's the numbers. According to Lewis, the Colorado Swine Partners only pays $3,500 a month in electrical costs. Now, similar-sized operations pay $11,000 a month in electrical costs. The Lamar-based operation is one of only 65 farms in the country converting methane to electricity. However, Lewis says, we were the first in the world to use a turbine to create hog methane electricity. While still in the testing stage, the micro-turbine approach appears to offer an even more energy-efficient process for the hog farm. Micro-turbines are considered to be boilers that also create electricity. And while they convert methane gas into electricity, microturbines also create heat. And this heat offers more opportunities to reduce the use of energy, says Lewis, including heating water, heating the buildings, and heating the hog mats and the anaerobic digester that decomposes the manure in the first place. Now, traditionally, electricity only operates at about 30% of efficiency. Let's see here. 30% of efficiency. The hog farm's electric system, complete with the microturbine, has the potential to increase this energy efficiency to 80%. 80%. Now, you know, if you could get 30% efficiency out of an electric operation, everybody's as happy as a clam at high tides. Now they're developing a new technology here. This is the world's first microturbine methane hog generating electricity pit in the world. It's still in the testing stages. But if they can get that thing above 30%, 40%, 50%, 60% of efficiency, I mean, we're starting to talk about a technology now that really has some potential. Instead of $65,000 a year, at 30% efficiency, if they could get 60, they would double the profitability to $130,000 a year. Not only does it eliminate this biomass waste problem, think about turkey farms, chicken farms. Think about those industries that are now polluting that could convert those polluting factors, those polluting manures and waste products, into and convert it over to electric generation or oil. There's another story in here I want to get to, where we're talking about oil and the taking of oil from a waste product and converting it into a usable engine lubricant. Well, I go on to finish up. He says, this innovative system is also more efficient in that residual solids are reduced significantly. And this means that Colorado Pork was able to install a much smaller lagoon than those traditionally used. Smaller lagoons are cheaper to build, and building a smaller lagoon saved Colorado Pork $180,000 in construction costs. Fewer solids also enhance the agronomic reach of the resulting fertilizer because hog farms aren't forced to dispose of them all year round. This means farmers can spread the manure on their fields during the growing season instead of the middle of winter. And most importantly, less residue solids, even in smaller lagoons, won't overflow during the heavy rain. It's this overflow of a manure lagoon which is so harmful to water quality, as we've seen in North Carolina. Now, as the details of the Colorado Pork experiment point to positive results, both the Governor's Office of Energy Management and the SECPA hope that it is just the beginning. Lewis explains that farming is very energy intensive, and by helping rural Colorado become more energy efficient, Lewis hopes to improve the lifestyles of farmers, which will improve the bottom line for rural communities and rural businesses. We have to fight for rural Colorado, he adds. We can't just walk away from it. Not only does this have potential in Colorado, it has even greater potential in North Carolina, where they have an even bigger hog farm problem. Now, I told you I wanted to tell you about these sunflowers. There's a company that's just starting up out in Colorado using sunflowers to produce motor oil. I thought this was unique because the big energy companies, you know, Exxon and Mobil and those, are going to work against any company that's out here competing with them. And after all, Mobil and other companies want to make motor oil, don't they? And they want to sell it. And they're pumping it out of the ground for around $2 a barrel over in Saudi Arabia. That's about what it costs to produce a barrel of oil is $2. Then that barrel of oil sells in the United States for $40. They make a $38 profit there. Then they take that $40 barrel of oil, which has 45 gallons in it, or 42, and then they convert that into gasoline. Well, now did you notice gasoline's around $2 a gallon? So they not only make a tremendous profit pumping it out of the ground, they also make another tremendous profit putting that oil into the form of gasoline. The oil companies profit in two directions, one in producing the oil out of the ground and two in producing it into a refined and finished product. They certainly don't want any competition from some upstart bunch of jerks in southeastern Colorado that's turning out motor oil from, you guessed it, sunflowers. Sunflower oil. Renewable energy promises to spark the economy of southeastern Colorado. From the outside, Great Plains Oil looks like a dozen other businesses making motor oil out of sunflowers, however, is anything but ordinary. This company in Eads, Colorado, a business partnership with Kiowa County Growers, started in 1999 with about 470 shareholders. Great Plains Oil is doing more than dabbling in the future. They're part of it. While research into creating a product like sunflower motor oil has been underway for about 10 years, Kiowa County didn't get involved until 5 years ago, and that was out of necessity. Now, community leaders, according to Stephen Pulls, he's the production manager for Great Plains, saw a decline in the county's economic prosperity, and he began to worry about what the future might hold. So they began seeking some type of industry that might revitalize Kiowa County, but were specifically interested in using resources that already existed to establish a manufacturing company in the area. When someone heard about a motor oil product that was made from sunflowers, something clicked. Sunflowers are a hardy crop that is highly drought tolerant, can be rotated with other crops like wheat, and can be planted as late as June. And that means if another crop fails, it's not too late to plant and harvest sunflowers. So the farmers in Kiowa County quickly got on board with the idea. So after looking into the possibility of producing such an oil in southeastern Colorado, Kiowa County Growers was formed. The group is comprised of stockholders who have invested money, about $750,000 to date, and who hold annual meetings. They in turn created the Great Plains Oil Company, LLC, and purchased a license to manufacture and sell environmentally friendly products made from sunflowers as well as from canola, linseed, and soy oil. After being established, Great Plains also secured a USDA grant to further push advancements in the marketplace. The motor oil is currently being marketed for use primarily in small engines, like lawnmowers. Pulls said that this is because the product is new and people are more likely to try a new product in a $500 lawnmower before they are in a $30,000 automobile. Some consumers are reluctant to try the product at all until more research has been done. However, more than a dozen vehicles in Kiowa County are currently running on Great Plains SunMax oil, undergoing a monitoring process that includes having an outside company test the oil at every oil change. And while it is still in the early stages of study, Pohl said that some of the vehicles using the sunflower oil appear to be running just as well or better. Tests have shown that the oil provides better lubricant lubricity than synthetic motor oils and also promotes easier starting, lower engine wear, improved gas mileage, and extended engine life and lower emissions and more. Now, as Great Plains continues to develop, people are watching, and there's a lot of interest in the possibility of using a motor oil that can be drained right onto the ground without environmental consequences. Everything we do is vegetable, non-petroleum, non-hazardous, Pohl said, and the potential for that is very great. Operating out of a renovated building in Eads, Colorado, Great Plains Oil is just three paid employees, including Pohl's, his wife Lynn, an office manager, and Norm Ahrens as CEO. The three are jacks of all trades, doing everything from marketing to packaging to producing and even delivering the product. They have help when it comes to growing the seed by contracting with farmers and crushing oilseed oil for their products. Using Colorado Mills and Lamar, the oil is brought back to Eads, however, where Pohl's blends it in huge vats in a building behind the Great Plains offices. Pohl's, who is also a minister, said Great Plains is like a second ministry to him. I want to see something good happen for our community, and adding that the products made by Great Plains are a good step toward turning things around here. Pohl said, we've got something people will grow to love. Now, at this moment in time, this seems to be a kind of a pie-in-the-sky concept, but think about the long-term benefits that come from it. The thing I liked the most was that it's a totally vegetable product that can be drained right on the ground and it's non-polluting. You could take this stuff out of the engine of your car and dump it in your creek and feed the fish with it. Now that's a heck of a lot different than having an oil spill that kills all of the aquatic life. You see, petroleum that comes out of the ground, the natural petroleum that we use today, is highly toxic. Now, we use a lot of motor oil in this country, we use a lot of diesel oil, and down in Brazil they're using soybean oil to run diesel buses. Any of these kinds of oils, like linseed oil, soybean oil, corn oil, can be used in place of diesel oil. The problem is, of course, that it's more expensive to use than diesel oil, diesel fuel. And that's because there's so much of it. You see, there's a trillion barrels of it already online developed. And we're about to reach, though, that period in our history called peak oil, when all of the oil that's known and being used in the world is being tapped. And I just saw the other day that Saudi Arabia is going to boost oil production by 1 million barrels a day. Well, there's only five countries in the world that have the capacity of boosting oil production, which would have a tendency then to bring oil prices down. These are the kinds of technologies, though, that I think have some real merit. You know, there are people who will buy that kind of oil just because it's biodegradable and will not pollute. If these guys can produce this, this is a good idea. This is the kind of an idea. This is the kind of a thing that's got marketable potential. This is the kind of thing that's got money to be made. All right, let's see. I got about 10 minutes here. I told you the story about wind and hog manure. Here was a short story in here about alternative energy automobiles. I kind of like this one. Let me share it with you. In the regional refrigerator door, they've got a feature here on the last page. And in this feature, it says, like a refrigerator door in many homes, this page lets us show off our region. This is southeastern Colorado. It salutes people, businesses, or institutions that use creativity and innovation, and it addresses problems in our communities. They've got a picture here showing an alternative fuel vehicle. It's a four-door sedan. It's an automobile. I can't tell what brand it is, but it's probably about like a Ford Taurus. And they're showing a picture here of a new breed called a hybrid car. The Pueblo County Fleet Department just got five new soldiers in its army of over 500 cars. The new cars are the 2003 Honda Civic Hybrids. All right, so it brands the car. It's a Honda Civic, made in Japan, I presume, which means that the cars run on both electricity and gasoline. Now, because hybrid cars rely on electricity, they get 50 to 55 miles per gallon in the city and 45 miles per gallon on the highway. City driving gets better gas mileage because it uses mostly electricity. Preliminary studies have shown that the improved gas mileage of the five cars have saved the county $25,000 in 8 months. Carl Chavez, the fleet manager for Pueblo County, purchased the cars with a grant from the STEPP Foundation. It's a Denver-based organization that helps agencies work toward a cleaner and safer environment. The foundation works by matching environmental projects with funding sources. The grant for the county's hybrid cars was funded by environmental pollution fines paid by the CF&I Steel Company. With the $102,000 grant, Chavez purchased the five cars from the Pueblo dealership. Now, the Pueblo County fleet also saves money on the hybrids because the cars only need to be serviced every 10,000 miles rather than the traditional 3,000 to 5,000 miles. And even better than the financial savings, Chavez explains that the cars decrease the amount of pollution released into the air. Chavez is so pleased with the impact made by only 5 hybrid cars that he plans to continue purchasing these hybrids for the county's fleet. And he's excited about the new technology that will soon be introducing hybrid trucks, because trucks are needed by many of the county employees in the county's many activities. Now, they're spending approximately $20,000 buying each one of these cars. So they got a $100,000 grant. Let's suppose that they were using taxpayer money. They're buying cars for $20,000 each, cars that they're going to buy anyway. And these cars get 50 miles to the gallon because they run on electricity. I've been reading about these. You've probably seen a little bit about them, too. The gasoline engine in the car also runs a generator. So while this car is driving down the road, it's generating electricity. It runs like a diesel electric engine on the locomotives on the railroad. You got a big diesel engine. The diesel engine generates electricity. The electricity drives the car. Well, this car has batteries in it, and it'll run on the batteries. It'll run on electricity. It runs on gasoline power. And because you can generate electricity, you don't have to use the gasoline engine all the time. You can switch over on the batteries and drive it around. It reduces pollution. And then when the batteries run low, you start the engine up and you start driving on the engine, which recharges the batteries. You know, that makes all the sense in the world. Now, aside from the pollution qualities, let's just look at it from a purely financial point of view. Let's suppose if you're getting 25 miles to the gallon in your car today, and that's fairly typical in most cars, you get 20, 25 miles to the gallon. This is a four-door sedan, and it gets twice as much. Well, if you're driving 20,000 miles a year, and you get 20 miles to the gallon, it costs you $1,000, or it takes 1,000 gallons, at $2 a gallon, it costs you $2,000. In other words, this car saves $1,000 a year in fuel. That's what the bottom line is. Now, you're going to pay $20,000 for this car anyway. Since you're going to pay the $20,000 to buy a car anyway, this car saves $1,000 a year. Let's suppose that you keep this car for 10 years. It will save half of its purchase price in fuel savings over the lifetime of the car, which we presume will be 10 years at 20,000 miles a year, would be 200,000 miles, and that's fairly standard in automobiles today, about a 10-year lifespan. So instead of a $20,000 car, the car costs you $10,000, and you throw the car away, divide that by the 200,000 miles that you drove it, and the cost of buying, operating, and maintaining the automobile is about half price. Now, you know, that makes all the sense in the world, aside from the fact that they're claiming that it's also environmentally friendly. So you can be a benefactor to both of these interests at the same time, environmentally friendly, and you can make money doing it. Hey, I'm about out of time. We got to cut it off right here. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station right here on Truth Radio Network and on the archives of the Gordon Law School. Remember, our address is www.georgegordon.org. All right, we're out of time. We'll see you back here next time. Thanks for listening, and until then, good night, friends.